Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGMU. Coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear why paid family and medical leave is something that is still being fought for at the state capital. This is despite public health advice for people to stay home if they're sick. Now, there has been some emergency measures put into place for people to be compensated as they stay home from work while they get tested for coronavirus, but nothing concrete as yet that would compensate workers if they need to take time off work if they're actually sick or needing to care for family members. Well, the lack of paid family and medical leave disproportionately impacts low-income workers who are often on an hourly pay scale. We'll hear from one organisation which has been fighting here in Colorado to pass paid family and medical leave on why the current conversation on the coronavirus needs to drive lawmakers here to take action. Then the cannabis industry is now being impacted as major trade shows in the state are being postponed. We'll hear from Leland Rucker on what that means. John Lendorf joins us then to talk about the latest food news on Radio Nibbles. Then after headlines from the BBC, we'll speak with a researcher and virologist on what you need to be aware of with the coronavirus and what people need to do and what people can do to help themselves. Then we'll hear about what's happening right now in the state of media. Nolan Higdon of Project Censored recently paid a visit to the Boulder Bookstore to talk about his latest book, The United States of Distraction, Media Manipulation in Post-Truth America. I got to speak with Nolan Higdon in conversation at the Boulder Bookstore. We'll bring you that later this morning and we'll have copies of the book to offer to those who contribute to KGNU. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Yesterday afternoon, Governor Jared Polis urged those over 60 and with underlying medical conditions to avoid travelling to the high country, as medical centres in mountain and resort towns have limited capacity to treat patients. He's also encouraging those same people to eschew all large gatherings. The announcement came as the latest news on the coronavirus emerged. 33 presumptive positive cases are now in the state. On Wednesday afternoon, it was confirmed that Aspen has the most number of cases in Colorado. Large gatherings are being cancelled and postponed. The Frozen Dead Guy Festival in Netherlands has been cancelled for this weekend. And the Conference on World Affairs at CU Boulder, scheduled for April, has also been cancelled. Yesterday, the University of Colorado announced that it was moving all classes online at all three of its campuses. Metro State University, Naropa and other colleges are also moving their classes online. A bill that would create a type of public option healthcare plan in Colorado saw about 90 people signing up to testify at the state capitol late Wednesday. Many spoke in opposition, mostly from the insurance and healthcare industry. Proponents, though, of House Bill 1349 say that they have, in fact, been working with all stakeholders to make the bill more acceptable. Others testified in favour of the measure, which seeks to curb healthcare costs, particularly in rural areas. They shared stories of high medical costs and unaffordable care. The Intercept reports that a group called Colorado's Healthcare Future has flooded the state in recent months with mailers and advertisements opposing the measure. The advertisements feature people in medical smocks with stethoscopes speaking into the camera about the dangers of so-called government-controlled healthcare. The group was launched last year to defeat the public option that was being proposed by Governor Jared Polis, and it has aired thousands of ads across broadcast television and social media. Its parent group is the Partnership for America's Healthcare Future Action, which is a 501c4 and therefore it does not need to disclose donor information. And it has spent more than $1.5 million in January alone on ads and advocacy to undermine the Colorado public option bill. 350 Colorado released a report on Wednesday that was conducted by Barrett Engineering that reveals that benzene emissions at the Bella Romero Academy campus in Greeley exceeded health standards that are appropriate for schools. It says it exceeded these standards on numerous occasions, while the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment took measurements. This was from May to December of 2019. Bella Romero has been in the spotlight as its school is just hundreds of feet from a major fracking operation. The report released yesterday says that students and staff at the school were exposed to higher concentrations of benzene, which is a known carcinogen and hazardous air pollutant. And they say that that exposure was higher than allowed by the most appropriate short-term health standard. Patricia Garcia Nelson's son goes to Bella Romero. The Greeley resident told KGNU that in addition to the health concerns that they have about fracking, the disruption and the noise almost makes life intolerable for people in the vicinity.
We live 1 mile from the school and the rig is so brightly lit at night, I could see it clearly from the backyard. And then sometimes if it was quiet enough, we could hear the humming. And I know there were a couple times where we were at the playground and we measured the sound, and it was just way over regulations on several occasions.
We'll hear an extended conversation with Patricia Garcia Nelson on Monday at 8:35. Community members are gathering signatures now on a petition demanding the immediate suspension of drilling and production at Bella Romero. They're going to be joined by 22 organisations for a Protect Our Children rally happening at noon on Friday at the school in Greeley. In today's weather, expect highs in the mid to upper 50s with a chance of some rain showers coming in later in the day. Overnight, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a wintry mix coming in for Thursday night into Friday, but then patchy fog earlier on Friday and then snow and rain likely Friday, with temperatures tomorrow just getting up into the mid to upper 30s, but warming up again for Saturday and Sunday with mostly sunny skies in the forecast. It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. Well, the latest advice being given by public health officials around the coronavirus is for people to stay home from work if they're sick or if they have the capacity to work remotely. All of this has reignited the debate for the introduction of paid family and medical leave. Well, low-income and hourly workers don't have the luxury to work from home. People in the service industry and many other low-paying jobs also have to make difficult decisions on whether or not they can in fact stay home if either they're sick or if their children are home from school. Wendy Howell, Deputy Director of Colorado Working Families Party, has been working to pass family and medical leave legislation at the Colorado State House. Similar measures have failed in recent sessions, but a bill is right now still working its way through the State House in the current session.
I think we've seen those in past years, again, that corporate forces have been the primary forces that have been blocking paid family leave legislation from being passed here in Colorado. Currently, there is work being done. I think that's been reported on by a number of outlets that the sponsors of several legislative sponsors are working hard to bring a paid family leave bill forward, and they've been having a real tough time fighting with both those corporate interests and trying to get what needs to be in the bill in the bill. And I think, we're all hopeful that we will see a bill, but it has not yet been introduced.
Well, also on Wednesday, the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment published emergency rules which temporarily require employers in certain industries to provide a small amount of paid sick leave to employees with flu-like symptoms while awaiting testing for the coronavirus. This is not about whether or not people can take 2 weeks off if they are in fact sick with either the coronavirus or the flu or something else. This is just about that testing period. this seems like a drop in the bucket when you look at the need that is out there, and particularly the current public health crisis.
I would agree. And I would say it's a good step. I'm glad that step was taken because it helps certainly low-wage workers who don't have sick time, and gig workers who don't have sick time. Hopefully it helps them get to a place where they actually will at least take the time to get tested. But I think it's very clear that we need a greater response to this crisis that we're now facing, and that this crisis is shining a light on the problems in our safety net. We know that healthcare workers, we know that food service workers, we know that airport workers and workers in a lot of other low-wage industries, a lot of other low-wage workers, don't have paid sick leave and don't have paid medical leave for more extended cases, as you say. And a lot of those positions are public facing and dealing with things like, the elderly in nursing homes, or dealing with the public in large scales, either in the food service industry or again in the, in places like airports. So these are exactly the sort of folks that we need to make sure have paid sick leave and extended paid medical leave so that they're not, coming to work sick because they have to be able to pay their bills.
In addition to that, we're seeing widespread policies now, certainly colleges and universities around Colorado saying they're moving to online courses only. People are paying attention to what's happening with school districts. If it does happen that children need to stay home for any kind of an extended period, that further puts pressure on families who then have to scramble for childcare, which is a whole other conversation, but of course very much related to this issue of family leave. Give us a sense of the impact on working families, and particularly families that are often in hourly wage brackets in the service sector. When we're seeing a public health issue like what we're going through now, how they are so disproportionately impacted?
Sure. I think, low-wage hourly workers, and I would add gig economy workers as well, are some of the people who are going to be most impacted. They're the folks who could least afford to take time off work, who are most likely not to have paid sick leave, most likely not to have paid medical leave, likely do not have child care at their work that is helping them, pay for child care costs. A lot of them don't have health insurance provided via their work. These are folks who are the most vulnerable in our population, and they are certainly going to be the most directly and immediately impacted. Because for those of us who have access to good health insurance, good paid leave policies, sick time, we can do the things that public health experts are recommending that we do. But when you are one paycheck away, or even missing a day or two of work could cause you to not be able to put food on the table for your family, you might not be able to do the things that public health officials recommend. So I think we need to work overtime to correct that and to make sure that our safety net for low-wage workers and gig economy workers is strong enough that everyone can follow the recommendations of public health officials.
I know that there is the possibility that Colorado voters might get a chance to weigh in on this, that earlier this year, the language for a couple of possible initiatives around family and medical leave were filed with the Colorado Legislative Council with a view to maybe getting on the November ballot. This is in the face of the possibility, the very real possibility of the state legislature once again not being able to pass some kind of legislation. Do you think ultimately voters will be the ones deciding on this?
Honestly, I think everyone is still hopeful that we'll be able to get stuff through the legislature. It's always nice to have a plan B, but everyone is really still hopeful that the legislative path will bear fruit, because it certainly is, it's a place, it makes them more, first of all, things would happen more immediately, months ahead of what a ballot measure could do. But second of all, you know, we think that that is probably the easiest path to get something done rather than running a significant ballot measure campaign that's likely to, you know, that will require a full-scale campaign. But, like I said, having a plan B is always a good thing.
And do you think that what's happening right now will change maybe public perception of this, given that so many people are going to be impacted by the current policies around the coronavirus?
Absolutely. I think we are seeing more and more and more inquiry into why workers don't have paid sick leave, why they don't have paid medical leave. And I think that as this crisis continues to unfold, more and more people are going to be asking those questions, because they're going to be wondering, why are people going to work sick? And the short answer is because they can't afford not to.
That's Wendy Howell, who is the deputy director of the Colorado Working Families Party. That's one of the groups that has been working to pass family and medical leave legislation at the Colorado State House. Similar legislation has failed in recent sessions, as we're hearing. Tough opposition coming from business groups. And obviously now with what's happening with the coronavirus, a slightly different tone to that conversation. But we will continue to follow what is happening at the State House here at your community radio station. This is KGNU, and lots of people calling us in this morning, really appreciating Democracy Now, but also our local news coverage and turning to us as a resource for all kinds of local news. Gabrielle in Boulder called in to say, I depend on KGNU for the facts, and she listens all the time. Thank you. Thank you to Sarah and Boulder for your contribution. William Closer calling in, happy to renew membership today. Really appreciates Democracy Now. And Linda says that KGNU provides so many important things, and it's truly a community service. Thank you all. It's so heartening to hear from our listeners. We know there is a lot going on right now, and we so appreciate people turning to KGNU as a resource. And as we have been here through many previous crises, whether it's wildfires or floods right now with the public health issue going on, we will continue to bring you the information that you need here on the radio, but also online. So do check out kgnu.org as well. And we're going to speak with a local virologist coming up in just about 15 minutes time. She's actually going to be one of the folks that we're going to be hosting at a live event next Thursday evening at the Boulder Bookstore. We're going to be broadcasting live from the bookstore with local experts giving you information on what's happening with the coronavirus, also answering your questions. So stay tuned with us tomorrow morning. Also at 8:30 a.m. we're going to host a special connections show getting your questions as well answered. So stick with KGNU as we continue our coverage, and we'd love to hear from you in the form of a donation as well. And don't forget, you can have your contribution doubled this morning thanks to this matching grant created by Cindy Collins Arsenault, matching your contribution. Be that caller at 303-449-4885. 303-449-4885. And thank you. Leland Rucker is a senior editor at Sensi Magazine, and he joins us on Thursday mornings to talk about the latest news in cannabis. We will, of course, be talking about the coronavirus in just a moment, because it is hitting everything, it seems, including the cannabis industry. But just an update on a story that we first covered last Thursday. This was where hemp farmers were reacting negatively to some proposed federal regulations that would supersede Colorado regulations when it comes to hemp farming, and particularly how the federal government was proposing to only allow testing for THC on hemp plants in specific facilities. That actually has changed, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that came up. Federal officials are going to delay the requirement that all testing on hemp crops be at labs registered by the DEA. And the reason for that is that there were only 64 in the entire country, and the closest one to Colorado was in California. So that's a good thing.
Well, as I said, we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, because as we are hearing, it's impacting so many places, a lot of major events being cancelled around the country. And right here in Colorado, we're seeing the Northern Colorado Hemp Expo this month happening supposedly in Denver. That's now being postponed.
Yeah, you know, the cannabis industry is one of those that kind of lives for expos and industry events. This has been something that's been over the years has even, there's been more and more. I've attended events here. I've attended events in Las Vegas. The MJ BizCon event in December had tens of thousands of participants, more than 1,000 distributors. And it's a chance for people to get together and, you know, strike deals, find partners, target competitors, all kinds of things happen at these. And, you know, after last week's cancellation of Austin, Texas based South by Southwest, which had a cannabis business track, the fallout continues. And indeed, this week, the NoCo Hemp Expo was postponed until August. And, you know, I've been to the ones, to the NoCo Hemp Expo. 3 years ago, it was almost nothing. It was up in Fort Collins in a tent. And, you know, now it's been become one of the biggest events in the hemp industry. You know, it really brings people together. I can remember talking to people from all over the world last year about hemp growing. And this has been postponed, and, you know, it happened very quickly, according to Morris Beagle. It happened very quickly. They had planned on this happening until the South by Southwest event was canceled. And then he said things happened very quickly, and the only thing they could say was, we want to protect people.
Well, it looks like now the pressure is on other events to follow suit. And so as one event cancels or postpones itself, I think the pressure then becomes stronger than on some of the other event organizers. And that's happening here in Colorado.
That's exactly what's happening here in Colorado and all around the country. And I'm expecting more to come as this continues to grow. The Hall of Flowers, one of the big B2B shows that hooks up brands and retailers in California, was scheduled for April 1st and 2nd. It's been postponed. In the wake of the postponement of Expo West, which had a big CBD component, the American Herbal Products Association has postponed its Hemp CBD Supplement Congress. That was scheduled for April 14 and 15 in Portland, Oregon. The International Cannabis Business Conference in Berlin has been moved from April to July. Another one, Canna Tech, which was scheduled to begin March 30 in Tel Aviv, Israel, announced plans to postpone its event. And these things kind of build on themselves, because if you postpone, then you have to find another place and another time that works for people and that hasn't been taken by another convention, because the cannabis industry isn't the only one that relies on these conventions. There are many conventions much bigger than cannabis conventions.
Well, if people were planning on attending the NoCo Hemp Expo in Denver, scheduled originally for March 26th through 28th, rescheduled now for August 6th through 8th, but also in Denver, I guess we'll keep you posted on future events.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep watching this. This is a fluid situation. It's changing all the time.
Well, you can read the latest cannabis news online at scentsymag.com and catch Leland Rucker here Thursday mornings. Thanks, Leland.
Thank you.
And it's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it to gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate too. Here's cacciatore, Dory. Taste the bologna, Tony. Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Everybody eats on Thursday mornings, especially when John Landorf joins us live in the studio, and especially when we do have some great restaurant gift certificates, which we'll mention in just a minute. But welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Interesting morning in our universe, and I hope you're all feeling well.
Well, I think it's a perfect day to talk about food, which can provide comfort to so many people. And of course, as we always do on Radio Nibbles, talking about the just rich tapestry of the local food industry here, whether it's local restaurants or bakeries or farmers, there's a lot going on.
And that's really what I wanted to talk about this morning. You know, we've been on the air for 40 years plus here at KGNU, and it's always been It hasn't been through the support of large multinational corporations, I can tell you that. Small local businesses. And in my case, the food businesses, the small businesses have been a tremendous support. Even right now, there's bagels here for the volunteers and donated by Moe's. And I've been talking to a lot of my friends in the restaurant industry in Boulder and environment lately in the past day or so, and things are very, very challenging. Restaurants are doing everything they can to make things okay, and people are not coming, and it's going to be very difficult. So I guess all I'm saying is, please support those, your friends in the industry. Please, if you can't, if you don't want to go in and dine, get takeout. My column today in the Boulder Weekly is about a new restaurant up on the hill. It's called the Formosa Bakery. It's run by a lady who emigrated from Taiwan a long time ago. It's dim sum, wonderful food. Really love it. And certainly the best thing I've eaten lately. And it's essentially people are scared and they're avoiding places. I guess all I'd say is if you're going to call Panera, Grubhub, and have them deliver food to you because you're scared to go out and eat, please choose to get delivery or takeout from restaurants like the Formosa Bakery or the Flower Pepper Restaurant and other small bakeries and restaurants. It really will make a difference in their survival in the coming weeks.
And we really are so grateful for all of the local restaurants who have been, you know, really supporting KGNU as community partners. One of them, The Corner on the Hill, have been giving us absolutely delicious dinners. Some of the local restaurants feeding us. But in addition to that, they're also offering some thank you gifts and gift certificates for folks. That's The Corner on the Hill. That's in Boulder.
As they have throughout the history of KGNU, we do have some wonderful gift certificates and hope that you can call now. And think about Mother's Day coming and other festivities. This is a way you can get out and enjoy the local dining. We have a gift certificate from the wonderful Walnut Cafe, Boulder's home of pies. Also a Zitra restaurant, which is in Broomfield. Wonderful upscale Indian food. And if you call the station now or go online and become a solar member like me, you can pick up one of these gift certificates. We also have, this one somebody should grab right away, the Savory Spice Shop. You know, freshen up your spices for all the cooking that you're going to be doing. We also have gift certificates from Eureka Restaurant and the Mercury Cafe in Denver. And if you really want to kick your culinary skills up a bit, you can take a truffle making class at Peace, Love and Chocolate.
Peace, Love and Chocolate. They've been guests on the show. I think I described the chocolate as a combination of rainbows and fairy dust and unicorn kisses. It was the most divine thing I'd ever had. So you can learn how to make that yourself. That's one of the great thank you gifts that we have as a thank you gift to you when you show your support. So many people are really stepping into that space of a community right now. This can be a time where people maybe hunker down and don't reach out to folks. But what we're seeing here and what we've always seen, whether it's a fire, a flood or a public health crisis, we have people who reach across to say, hey, we're all in this together, guys. How can we support you? And folks like Marvin Baker has called in today saying KGNU gives news. It's difficult to find in the metro area. Big fan of alternative radio and Democracy Now. Thanks, Marvin. Thanks for your support this morning. As we said, John, you know, we know there's a lot vying for people's attention. Mm-hmm. People might be feeling, you know, a little bit anxious, wondering what's going on. We're doing our best here to provide you with all of the information that you need, including food news. And there's so much that is happening. And as you said, a lot of our local hospitality industry and smaller restaurants as well really being impacted by this. We heard earlier from someone advocating for paid family and medical leave because, of course, so many people in the service industry and food service workers don't have access to that. And they're really being impacted as well.
Like me, they are in the gig economy. there are no paid days off. There's no paid sick leave. There's no cushion in there. Worse than this, you know, I talk a lot to people who are in the food rescue and food waste and feeding the food insecure. It's getting difficult because they run on volunteers. More than that, they depend on donated food. And so right now they're getting a lot of food from events that are being canceled. But as the events are no longer being held, they won't have that. So be aware of these social support organizations like Boulder Food Rescue and Emergency Family Assistance, because the people who are really struggling are going to be have a challenge getting enough food. And I really urge you to, if you believe in what we're doing down here at KGNU, please call 303-449-4885 or go online and become a Solar member. A little comes out every month. And you know when you turn on KGNU that you're going to get accurate local information. And there, I'm in the media, in the local media, and I have been for 40 years. Sadly, there are very few other local media resources for Boulder County and environs where, you know, it's immediate and local and you can get accurate information. And KGNU is that source.
Well, we're going to be here. We're committed to serving our community, and we can do it thanks to listener members and all the folks who have called in and all of our local restaurants. I mean, we are so grateful for them not just giving us great gift certificates, but also catering for the folks who've come here to volunteer their time, like the folks standing by the phones or sitting by the phones, waiting by the phones right now at 303-449-4885, waiting to hear from you. And just a shout out to all of the folks who have donated food to feed our volunteers: Moe's Bagels, Chef Bob, Cosmos, The Corner on the Hill in Boulder, Savory Cuisines Catering, Illegal Pete's, Jimmy John's, Black Belly, Santo, Fresh Time, Motomaki, Alibaba. And of course, where would we be without our endless coffee from Ozo Coffee? Thank you all, because, you know, we know that right now our local food partners are also having a difficult time. So they're not shrinking or shirking their responsibility and their commitment to the community by serving KGNU. So we're asking everybody to, you know, in these times to, you know, reevaluate. Guys, we're all in this together. So thank you to all of our community partners for supporting us.
This is what I love, the fact that KGNU is a family gathered around a table together, trying to figure things out and support each other. And that's why this is the time now to help KGNU and support community, and also get yourself something good to eat in these challenging times.
303-449-4885. That is the number. A big thanks to John. Thank you in Boulder for calling in, saying discovered KGNU via the Science Show. How on earth, on Tuesday mornings? And now KGNU is a broad, clear window to the world. I love hearing stories like that. I love hearing people's portal stories. What was your first show that you heard that really got you hooked in and connected to KGNU? So thank you so much for your contribution. Keep those calls coming in, because they are actually being matched this morning, thanks to this matching fund that we have. Now, we still have a lot to get through, because as you mentioned, John, you're also a member of the media and you know what's happening with the local media landscape. We're going to talk about that in more depth with Nolan Higdon of Project Censored. He paid a visit recently to the Boulder Bookstore. I got to be in conversation with him there, and we're going to hear that in just a minute. Before that, though, we're going to hear from a local virologist who is working on this, a biosafety specialist. So we're going to get some information that we all need to know without any kind of panic attack attached to it, what we can do, what we should do, and what really is working. So do stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you mentioned the best thing you ate this week, dim sum.
Dim sum. It's things like shumai, the steamed dumplings, and the rice buns that have barbecued pork in the middle, and other dumplings that have duck egg in the middle, and sauces with ginger and chilies and miso. And wonderful bone broths with noodles and beef. And those are the kind of things that will take care of you. So, you know, wash your hands. You know, don't hug anybody, as hard as that is for somebody like me. You know, sure, social distancing. But don't separate yourself from the world. Don't distance yourself from your community members.
Comfort food, comfort radio as well. We're here for you. So 303-449-4885. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
It's when they come to my house. Hannah, Davy, Tommy, Dora, Andre. Everybody eats when they come to my house.